Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text from Ephesians chapter 5, I'd like to reread the words of our epistle lesson. The Holy Spirit says through St. Paul, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, where the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" This is our text. What does it mean to live in darkness? What does it mean to live in darkness? For the man born blind, living in darkness wasn't a metaphor. It literally means that he can't see where he's going or what he's doing. Ever. He has no visual concept of the world. He has no experience of light. He doesn't even know what light is really like. To be blind is one kind of darkness. But St. Paul speaks of another darkness, a deeper darkness, a darkness that's not physical, but spiritual. What does it mean to live in darkness when your vision is 20/20, but the eyes of your heart are blind? What's it like to be a creature living in a created world but ignorant of the Creator or hostile to Him? St. Paul exposes some darkness that he says shouldn't even be named, described, or joked about among us. Sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness, filthiness, foolish talk, crude joking. He doesn't need to describe such things in detail. We know what he's talking about. We know it when we hear it. We know it when we see it. And we know it when we take part in it. He warns that those who participate in such things shall have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. When it comes to darkness, some of us have direct personal experience with this kind of darkness. We've been there. We've done that. Knowingly or unknowingly, we've dabbled in things that we shouldn't, and we've got the bumps, bruises, and scars to prove it. We played with fire, we got burned, and we burned others. And a few of us may not be in that camp. A few of us may be a bit more naive or innocent of the depths of darkness. And that is a good thing. There's no virtue in experiencing darkness firsthand. No one is better off for having sown his wild oats. And I say that because sometimes people will say things like, well, they've just got to go experience the world. And the answer is no, they don't. Tasting the fruit didn't actually give Adam and Eve any true wisdom, and it didn't make their life any better. I don't think they looked back to that day and said, you know, after all, wasn't it a good thing? So we should pray for protection from the darkness for ourselves, certainly, and especially for our children and grandchildren and the children we love. Now, even though I say that some of them may be a little bit more naive and innocent to darkness, even they've picked up hints of it here and there, in stories, in movies, from friends, online. I mean, you'd have to be blind to not glimpse the darkness occasionally. And all it takes is one little taste, one small little taste, for the imagination to begin to go dark. The sinful nature doesn't need much convincing to get hooked. A branch that starts out crooked doesn't need to be trained to be more crooked. It grows that way. It happens naturally. And this is the problem with humanity, problem with us. We're born bent toward darkness, and the algorithms are happy to drag us deeper in. So all of us know, in some way, all of us know what it's like to live as if God didn't matter, as if no one else mattered either, and as if I mattered most. That's darkness. St. Paul even says, at one time, you were darkness. It was our identity. How can he say that? Because of the company that darkness keeps with sin and death. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. We were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. You were darkness. But no more. Not today. Not tomorrow. Not ever, he says. There's no going back. What fellowship has light with darkness? Or as one author said, there is no Christian twilight. You can't live in between. And yet the temptations are real. You know it, and I know it. The old life, even if it was never your old life, the old life beckons. We live in the world every day. In business, at school, at home, in the private moments of our lives, the pull of darkness is real. Will we be of the world, or will we go back to being of the world? Through baptism, we have put off the works of darkness. So would we change our brilliant robes of righteousness for those filthy rags again? Through baptism, we have already been buried with Christ. Do you really want to reopen that grave? Dig up the skeleton and play with death again? How could we? I mean, that would be as crazy as the man born blind deciding to put out his eyes after Jesus made him new ones. That would be insane. Oh, I got to see for a week or so. Now I'm going to just put them out. After he'd been given new eyes, he could no longer believe or act as he did before. Having seen Jesus, he couldn't unsee him. Having had his mind open to the truth, he couldn't deny the truth, not without killing something that had become alive in himself. Consider the way this blind man, formerly blind man, teaches the teachers about Jesus. We heard that long gospel reading with the back and forth. Is this the guy? Was he really blind? Is he your son? How could this have happened? Whoever healed him must not be of God because he healed on the Sabbath. And the man finally gets fed up and just says, why, this is an amazing thing. You don't know where he, Jesus, comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began, go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man weren't from God, he could do nothing. He shined light on the whole situation. He spoke the truth. And did you hear what he got for it? They cast him out. Threw him out of the synagogue. They'd already decided if anyone becomes a follower of Christ, they are gone. They cast him out. The darkness wanted nothing to do with him. And yet the light of the world was glad to welcome him. Remember that the next time the world wants to chew you up and spit you out for being a Christian. The darkness may reject you, and that's okay. The light of the world will be there for you. To be rejected by the darkness is good, even when it's painful. So I picture this blind man being tossed out of the synagogue, picking himself up from the ground, turning away from the Pharisees, and running into Jesus. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? He's still a little bit blind. You have seen him with those new eyes of yours, the ones I gave you, remember? You've seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Why would you ever want to go back to that darkness? Why would he ever want to go back to that darkness? That's not who he is, and that's not who you are, and that's not where any of us belong. In the light is where you belong. That's why you're here this morning, so the light of Christ can shine on you again in his holy word and his holy sacraments. And St. Paul says, now you are light in the Lord. Light in the Lord is different than mere ordinary light. God made the sun to be an ordinary light. We rejoice when we see it, especially after a long and cold winter. But through baptism, he has made us to be extraordinary, supernatural light. You remember that Jesus once said to the disciples, you are the light of the world, which I always find so amazing, because I really want to protest and say, actually, Jesus, I'm not the light of the world. You are the light of the world. But he says, well, you are too. He himself is the light, and you are the light in him. St. Paul even calls us children of light. He talks about the fruit of light, which is a really striking image. Having grown up on a cherry and apple farm, I know that a cherry tree will bear cherries and an apple tree will bear apples, but I do not know what the fruit of light is. Light doesn't bear fruit. And St. Paul says, but this light does. So the one who meditates on the word is like a tree planted by streams of water that bears its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And every healthy tree bears good fruit, Jesus said. And the seed that's sown on good soil produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And that's the complete opposite of the unfruitful works of darkness. We should bear fruit, the fruit of light. But what should we do with the unfruitful works? Don't let them hide. Don't let them grow in the darkness. Don't cover them over where they simply germinate. Expose them. Let the light of Christ shine on the dark corners of your sinful nature, and let it shine on the darkness that you encounter in the world. Don't tolerate it. Don't ignore it. Don't cover it over. Expose the darkness. Bring it into the light. That's what Jesus did. He exposed the darkness of sin and death, of your sin and your death. He didn't let them hide. He put them out there for the whole world to see. I don't mean that he's like hanging out a laundry list of your sins for the world, but he's hanging out sin. Do you really want to know what the darkness looks like? Are you curious about dark things? Does sin still intrigue you? Here's what you should do. Grab hold of a crucifix and take a close look, especially one that's bloody and piercing. Or open up your Bible and read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John the account of our Lord's passion, his suffering and death. If sin intrigues you, if the darkness beckons to you, go there and see fully revealed the unfruitful works of darkness. It looks like crucifixion. And let that Let that put the darkness to death in you. But the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Easter happened. That's where Lent leads, and we cannot deny that Jesus is risen, even while we're still waiting to celebrate Good Friday again. The tomb is empty, and the light pours out. The light lives. The light lives, and the light speaks, and the light washes, and the light feeds, and the light makes you light. So walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. St. Paul has to say it that way because it's not always obvious. It's not always clear to us exactly what we should do or what is good or right or true. So where do we go? We look at our lives, we look at our situations, we look at the world in the light of God's word. We could ask of something, if we're faced with a decision or a question or a situation, we could ask, is it good? Is it right? Is it true? And if it's not, then you know what to do with it. And if it is, then walk into it. Because God has created you and me. He has created us for good works. He has called us out of darkness, not to sit in a hazy twilight or in the fog, but to be light. He has raised us from death to walk in the newness of life. So don't be afraid to take a step, because he's the one leading you. Like I said, if we're not sure what that looks like in any given situation or day or moment of time, then we need to look deeper into the light. Stare into the light. It's not a wise thing to do when it comes to the light of the sun, but it's the best thing to do when it comes to the light of Christ. Look more deeply into it. It won't blind you. It'll help you see better. It'll enlighten your path. It'll make things visible that were hidden from you. So read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the word. Don't just say it. Don't just think that would be a great thing to do. Actually do it. Set aside a time, every morning, every evening, and a place, and put your Bible there and set your alarm. If you have to, put your Bible on the floor so that when you first step out of bed, you step on it and remember, I need to stand in the Word. And then test your life, test your thoughts, and test your works by the teaching and instruction of Holy Scripture. Because God has promised that Jesus is the light, and his Word is a light to our path, and as we are enlightened by them, we are light in the Lord as well. And it's like St. Paul himself is a light. You might picture a lighthouse, the light kind of swinging past. He's lighting up for us the rocky shore, the things to stay away from, but he's also protecting us from harm. Stay away from the things that are dangerous and sail smoothly on the water where Christ is with you. Or as St. Paul says at the very end, quoting what seems to be a hymn or a verse, something that they read or said as part of baptism, awake, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. In Jesus' name. Amen.